From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, April 17th, 2026. A Penobscot County jury this week awarded a Clifton man $6.5 million in a medical malpractice lawsuit against Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center. As Patty White reports, 41-year-old Travis Getchell alleged in his lawsuit that he was permanently harmed due to the hospital's negligence.
Getchell went to the Bangor Hospital's emergency room in August of 2021 for severe pain and a loss of bladder sensation after he felt a pop in his lower back while taking out the trash, according to his attorney, Merrill Poulin. She says an MRI revealed the nerves at the base of Getchell's spine were compressed, which is an emergency medical condition. But Poulin says Getchell waited nearly 24 hours for surgery, and by then he had permanent loss of bladder and sexual function, as well as paralysis in his feet and ankles.
Travis now needs help with essentially every step of his day. He needs help taking a shower and getting dressed and going to the bathroom and doing his laundry, cleaning his house, making his meals, doing his grocery shopping.
Poulin says Getchell now lives with his parents. She says the $6.5 million in damages will help cover future medical costs and allow him to hire professionals to help with his daily needs. A spokesperson for Northern Light Health says they're disappointed by the jury's verdict, but wish Getchell good health going forward. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Central Maine Power filed today for a rate decrease. The utility says it will lower an average customer's bill by $4 a month beginning in July. But public advocate Heather Sanborn says that decrease should be $11 a month. That's how much less CMP had to pay to recover from storm damage.
Storm costs were low last year, and so some of those one-time storm costs from 2023 and 2024 have now been fully recouped. So we should see an $11 decrease in our bills starting July 1st.
Instead, CMP says it plans to keep some of the savings to pay for grid improvements, which Sanborn says is a, quote, very unusual request. CMP is also asking for an increase in the profit it can pay to shareholders. The Lewiston Police Department says a suspect who sparked lockdowns at schools and hospitals in the city yesterday was not armed after all. Lewiston Police said in a Facebook post today that officers had responded to an incident at St. Mary's Hospital around 3 p.m. Thursday, and that the person they were seeking was believed to be armed with a gun. Lewiston Middle School, Lewiston High School, and Bates College went into lockdowns due to their proximity to the hospital, but Lewiston police say they later determined that nobody had actually observed the person in question with a gun and that the individual had made no threats to harm members of the public. Housing was a major part of a so-called affordability agenda that Governor Janet Mills unveiled at the start of this year's legislative session. And as Nicole Ogrisco reports, state lawmakers, for the most part, delivered much of what housing advocates had been pushing for, with a few compromises.
One big-ticket item in the supplemental budget is more than $60 million for emergency housing and for affordable housing construction. More than half of those funds will replenish programs that help subsidize the construction of additional homes, particularly in rural areas. Laura Mitchell with the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says the programs will help the state chip away at a persistent housing shortage.
That is really critical at a time when additional funds that were being given have run out. And so this will allow these programs to be able to continue.
The work of building more homes has been slow and expensive. So housing advocates say they're pleased that after Maine's eviction prevention program ran out of funding, lawmakers agreed to spend $11 million to keep it going for at least one more year. Over the last year or so, the program provided assistance to nearly 1,300 families who were struggling with the high costs of rent. And Kathy Kilrain Del Rio at Maine Equal Justice says it allowed the majority of households to avoid eviction.
Many families who had gotten behind got behind because of life events that they couldn't control, you know, a health emergency that kept them out of work, a unexpected reduction in their hours at work, or a job loss.
Also getting additional funds, Maine's network of about three dozen homeless and emergency shelters, which will receive nearly $6 million next year. Of that, $1.5 million is considered permanent, ongoing funding due to some changes that the legislature made this session to the real estate transfer tax. Carrie Bradstreet, the executive director of homeless services of Aroostook in Presque Isle, says it's the first time in a decade that shelters will see an increase in permanent funding from the state. She says many shelters are at or near capacity, and many have been on the brink of closure for years.
This 1.5 is a small portion of what is needed. However, we take the win where it's at.
In Aroostook County, Bradstreet says she's concerned about a growing number of people, especially older Mainers, who are struggling with rising daily costs and are traveling to Presque Isle seeking help.
It's not going to be like you wake up in the morning and, oh, everyone's housed now. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Meantime, several housing-related bonds that were up for consideration this session failed to win approval from lawmakers. One proposal included money for water and sewer infrastructure upgrades. Laura Mitchell says those upgrades are necessary if Maine wants to expand its housing supply.
Whether it's laying new line or upgrading current operations and facilities, there's an expense to that. And so if we want to add more housing, who pays for that? You know, if the developer needs to pay for it, then ultimately that just increases the cost of the development and what the resident needs to pay.
Mitchell says it's not too disappointing, considering the legislature did set aside tens of millions of dollars for housing production in the state's supplemental budget. She says a bond will likely be a priority again next year. Several of Maine's gubernatorial candidates say they support a housing bond. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.